Let's go to 1 John. Gospel of John. Big John. I still can't imagine what it must be like. I can't imagine there would be a gospel named Oli.
There won't be.
I know, but I can't imagine there's one named John.
These were special people.
Yeah, but I know they were, but I'm talking about Rutledge or Bojo.
What chapter in?
Chapter 1, verse 1.
I'm there.
John 1 and 1 for you.
I want to continue talking about what it means to take the name of the Lord in vain. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of all men, is what it says. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The same came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave he power or ability to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, the reason that taking the name of the Lord in vain is so critical is because if I put the name of God on that which is empty and futile, and that which the Bible calls vanity, instead of recognizing that He is in me, if I put it on me, then by definition, I will always try to improve the thing that the name is in, instead of letting Him live His life. And that's why the first century Christians didn't use the name of Christian, because that would have been putting the name of God on their flesh, instead of their recognition that He was in. Now, if you put the name of God on you, then by definition you will, it's tautological, that you will attempt to live up to that standard. If you know that the name of God is eternally in you, and He's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world, then the recognition is towards His ability and His power, not my attempt to accomplish it, which will always produce hypocrisy because the flesh can't accomplish it. Now, this is a biggie. There's probably nothing bigger. And that's why the Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. Now, it was either 74 or 75. I was a speaker at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. Some of you have heard this before. And I talked about taking the name of the Lord in vain. And it was a pretty big audience. It was a very big audience. And I said, speaking of taking the name of the Lord in vain, you've heard this before, some of you, but I said, can you imagine the Saul of Tarsus Evangelistic Association or Simon Peter's Bible University? And I said, it's laughable. It's ludicrous. And in the audience were all these men who had started the quote-unquote Evangelistic Association or university or whatever with their name on it. Now, I'm not saying they're going to hell because they did that, but I'm saying that we must talk about and reveal what we see. And that is that I can't imagine. I mean, not only can't I, but no one here could imagine, or no one that knows me could imagine, the Ole Anthony Evangelistic Association. It's laughable. But why is that any more laughable than all of the other Benny Hinn Ministries or Earl Roberts University, or et cetera, et cetera? Why? It's laughable here because we have taught so much about the idea in a thousand ways about not taking his name in vain, not putting his name in our flesh. Do you all see the importance of this?
I gotta see that. It's if you preach this gospel, it's laughable. But if you're preaching that other gospel, it's kind of expected almost.
It's a cultural thing. I don't think they realize they're doing it. That's what I'm saying. I mean, there's some very humble people that through the cultural aspects of life have ended up putting their name on the organization because, you know, for a myriad of reasons. But
and they believe the marketing people.
Yeah,
like Billy Graham. I can't imagine that he.
Yeah. No, I don't think he
wants to take glory to himself. But they've convinced him that. He's
a marketable name, you need to put it up there.
Right. I interviewed Billy Graham, I think that same year, and I interviewed him in the kitchen of the Watergate Hotel, of all places, for the talk show I had then, One Trinity Place.
Is it recorded?
It was, but we can't find it.
We have some.
We have probably 10% of. That was the deal I had with the radio station, and we'd get copies of all the audio tapes. But they probably ended up recording 10% of them, and I really wasn't paying any attention to it. So. Anyhow, it's the nature of the human being, because of the fall. The very essence of his life is self-seeking or self-realization, to try to find out who he is and what he's to become. And that's why this is so important. Because of that, you listen to marketing people, you listen to people without any spiritual wisdom, and they end up convincing you that you should put your name in the organization because you're the one that has the credibility or you're the one that has the reputation. And so you've got to hear me. I'm not condemning any of those people. I'm just saying that for us, we've got to recognize this. Now, because the nature of man, whether the nature is he's a Christian or a Buddhist or anything else, is self-realization, then if you're not preaching your death and his life, and if you're even preaching this whole deal about that thing I just absolutely despise about the footprints in the sand, then what will happen is you will automatically try to use the name of God to help you, to fix you, to get stuff. When you look at the Old Testament, when you look at the scriptures, you will see and try to use those scriptures as applied to you, to your flesh, instead of being a parable or a type of Christ. And so instead of seeing when you look at the Old Testament, if you don't know the cross as your death, you will see all kinds of ways and methods and stories that you think apply to you. And so that Steve Munsey was on Benny Hinn this morning, and he was using Job, of all things, to talk about, because Benny has gotten some bad publicity, that Benny was like Job.
Ooh.
And that God was about to, within 60 days, he had anointed Benny the same way he had anointed Job. But Benny had to build an altar. And that because when Job prayed or accepted the seven rams and seven bullocks of his friends, that the people were now to send multiples of $77 or $7,700 or $770 or
$700.
And if then Benny accepts their offering, then the people will be blessed. Well, again, Benny is kind of a spiritual, he's just a naive little guy. But he believed it because it sounded so right to him at that time. And he and who's the singer that's with him all the time?
Steve Brock.
Steve Brock. They were all excited and tears were coming down their eyes. Oh, thank you, Steve Muncy. This is the answer.
Now he's
going to build an altar in his studio. And then he's going to put all these prayer requests on that altar. And then all the people that send money, and I'm sure jillions of people will, are going to receive everything that Satan has taken away plus double. And it's because that people do not recognize what taking the name of the Lord in vain is. They don't see that all the scriptures in the Old Testament are about Christ. People are still searching the scriptures, for in them they think they find principles of eternal life. But they are they that testify only of Christ, and that you won't come to him. And so all of these issues are why it is so absolutely vital to understand that you do not take the name of the Lord in vain. That your life is not about you, your life is about Jesus Christ. Because you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Because your life is Christ. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung. I don't suffer the loss of all things, and if I do certain things and hold my mouth right, I'm going to get everything doubled back from God. Because that is sorcery. Now, again, the only reason that God allowed these guys to be so prominent is so we can see ourselves. That we can see our own unbridled greed. There's not one of us that wouldn't like what Steve Muncy told Benny Hinn to be true after the flesh. Because all men are moving toward self-seeking. That's why the cross must, that's why we have to die daily. Not once a day, all the time. If not, then the ones that are continuing in self-seeking, it's the self-seeking that is blinding them. It's the same way that the nation of Israel were blinded, and they asked Moses to put a veil over his face, and that veil is still there, and that veil is self-seeking, because by definition, self-seeking is wherever I look, whether it's in the scriptures or in life, I see me. How does this affect Watushi? Me. That's Korean for me, by the way.
Heard that. I like it.
Watusi. So, that can you get a little better understanding of why we don't take the name of the Lord in vain? For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, this will cut some of you to the quick, because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any sacrificial knife, the two-edged sword. It reveals the very core of the evilness of your self-seeking. And that's the way you are. You're made. All of us are made as self-seekers. To self-realization. What can make us happy? What can make us fulfilled? And for each of us, and each of us potentially have a different office in the body of Christ, for each of us, what will make us fulfilled is different. But the only thing that will make us fulfilled is to die, to accept our death, to see that we were with Christ on that cross. Otherwise, no matter whether we call go under the name of Buddha or Jesus or Muhammad or Allah or any other of the myriad of names, we will continue to be vessels of wrath. Because we will move automatically towards self fulfillment. Now, I tell you what, if somebody would have told me this before I was a believer, I would have killed them. Because my entire life was based on this incessant, overriding, self-seeking, no matter what the cost. Now, I was incredibly blessed because I saw that everything was empty. Everything was vain. Everything was futile. I've told you I visited over 130 embassies with embassy privileges. I met governors and presidents and kings, and they didn't know any more than I did. And they had, I mean, not that I'm smart, but they were just there by the accident of birth or the fortuitousness of different events that happened. And they were just as empty as I was. Now, so this little thing, that's why it's what is it, the fourth commandment or something? I can't remember. What, it's pretty high up there in the commandments of the ten. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, the problem with preachers and the problem with the spiritual leaders of today is they are preaching self-realization in the name of God. Now that's where the wrath of God is going to come on those people that teach the sheep that. So I mean, the people who are sincerely trying to find God and try to be fulfilled in Him, you know, will be they'll be all right. God'll take care of them. But it just makes me cry when I watch something like Benny Hinn. I mean, because I know him. He's not an evil man any more than anybody else. He's not any more evil than I am. But they're being deceived, and he unknowingly is deceiving millions of people. Now, so again, some of you have heard this story before, but when I went to Germany to do that TV documentary on Adolf Hitler, the New Age Messiah, we were filming in the Habsburg Empire's treasure chest in Vienna, or a treasure palace. It's called the Schatzkammer. And there allegedly, I mean, there was this incredible thing that was allegedly the sword that pierced the side of Christ. And was it Rudolf Steiner? Mm-hmm. It was Hitler's best friend when they were teenagers. And Steiner and Hitler together stood at that sword, that lance of Longinus. And Steiner, when he looked at it, was overwhelmed with the mercy and grace of Christ and his incredible sacrifice that gave every man, because he's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world, he's gave them, every man, the opportunity, the ability, the efficacy to receive, to understand that they have received him. Hitler, on the other hand, saw the same sword, the same time, and Steiner believes he was demon-possessed at that point. But he saw, instead, the power, the legends of the power that was associated with that sword, or that lance, that whoever possessed it, all armies in the universe would fall before him. Because, if you want to get into all the metaphysical crap, that penetrated the fifth chakra of Christ. That was the power chakra. And that was imbued with these mystical powers. And there's these stories of, you know, all of them who's the first emperor, Christian emperor?
Charlemagne, right?
No. The
Holy Roman Empire?
First Christian czar. Constantine. that Constantine possessed the sword, and then Charlemagne, and Otto, then the von Bismarck, or whatever his name is. All these men, and there's these great legends about whoever, they all possessed it, they all became these. And so Hitler saw or accepted those legends, whether they're true or not, didn't matter. And he then, the first thing he did was go to Poland and get that sword in his possession.
In Austria?
In Vienna, Austria, I mean. When they overran Austria. Well, the thing happened, this is all in film. What happened to me, I was standing there talking with the cameras rolling about the legend of that lance. And all of a sudden, I was transfixed. And I saw in this, whatever it was, I'm not sure it was a vision, but whatever I saw, the fullness of that, I saw this billions of people just streaming, toiling toward to get up to the top of a mountain. And they're trying everything and trying to do everything. And then there was the few over that just accepted this mystery of Christ. And their warfare was over. And yet they were joint heirs and owned all things. And I mean, I don't know how long. It seemed like a long time. Because Jeff Sterling got mad at me and I never saw the finished product. But it aired on Canadian broadcasting. And I mean, that it was many of these things that cemented this mystery of the cross for me. And the evil of taking the name of the Lord in vain. And so that's why it's so critical. It's so critical to understand that we must die daily. Die to ourself. Die to our self-interest. Die to our ideas. And accept the fullness of Christ and His offering. That His life is in us. And all your warfare, all your problems are over. Now it's His battle, and He's guaranteed because He's already finished the way. Now, don't be confused. You know, in the same subtlety as the serpent beguiled Eve, don't you be beguiled or taken away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Dwell on Him and His finished work. And I promise you, by one offering you've been perfected forever. That His offering met every possible need that you can have. That's all you have to do is wait on Him. And eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them that wait on Him. Which the New Testament translates as love Him. Any response? That's enough. I don't feel like talking anymore. Gary?
That last thing you said just is mystical, the effect it has on you. It just settles everything. You just rest.
It's the only thing you can do. And all the chaff of your mind just blows away. Just don't let it build up anymore. That's why you must bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's why every thought you have has to stand against it is finished. And I promise you there's no thought you can have that can stand against it. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
I just snuck up on you, because if you can say amen to that, then God help you if you continue on in your own self-seeking. Anybody else? John?
I was thinking about the lance thing, because it's as if you're the thinking about the lance or standing in front of the lance or even where the lance might have been, you know, or something. It's like being at the cross, because that's part of the whole
thing. That's his death.
Yeah, it was the vital part of what happened on the cross. And it's,
That's what gave it its power. Nothing.
Yeah.
It's not. It's not because it's an object. It's because of Christ, and it can be missing. The fifth chakra in the ancient Hindu is the power chakra, and it's the place when you arrive at that, you can become a real guru, or you can become a fakir. You know, the guys that go out and do tricks. That's the legend, anyway. That doesn't mean anything, but it's interesting. And everybody wants the power! Except I don't. Because he has it. That's why his strength is perfected in your perfect, proffered weakness. Emptiness. Again, he cannot occupy where you are. Now remember, he's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, this was written with all of that in mind. You've heard me before say it, but since I haven't said this for so long, I wrote it down. Will it be today? What can make you arise from your spiritual death? Shall love songs from the earth herself awaken my love, my fair one? Shall a cup of cold water stir the remembrance of the garden where we walked and talked together? Shall a smell of a flower turn your head to my love waiting to be received? What shall unlock the death of your selfishness? Shall a blaze of a comet's light prompt you to inquire of me? Shall a display of my universe spectacular taunt your curiosity to wonder who I am? Will the words love your neighbor as yourself challenge you to know me further? Shall love expressed in death impress you to repent? Will the falling leaves remind you of your fall from my presence? Will the icy hand of winter pull you toward my warmth and forgiveness? What shall it be? For I shall try all things to reach you. I will cry. I will call to you in each crash of thunder, pound at your heart with tears of my rain. I will rage in the chamber of your darkness, standing as the only light within your cavern of death, waiting, waiting, waiting for the breaking of your pride. You may be set free and live. Standing as the only light within your cavern of death, raging in the chamber of your darkness, waiting, waiting, waiting for the breaking of your pride that you might be set free and live. Everything else is an illusion. Amen? What? You look like you got hit with a brick.
Well, those are good funeral words.
And that's not a funeral. That's like saying the 23rd Psalm is a funeral song. I am just kidding you, I know.
If you can see in the
spirit. Yeah.
You have the spiritual understanding whatsoever.
No, I understand what you mean. Kevin?
I was just thinking about a song that talks about God walking through the garden calling for Adam, because Adam's trying to hide.
I told you were naked. Who told you you needed something? The evil one. Who's your constant companion that has no power except that which you give him. Can you see why your mind is the Antichrist, the instead of Christ now a little bit better? Can you see why if your mind is the Antichrist, you must bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ? Can you see why every thought and every emotion has to come against it, and there's no thought and no emotion that can stand against it? I'd like to take your sincerity and put it where the sun don't shine.
Who's exactly?
Well, I've experienced it with every one of you, so.
Yes, I did.
If you're going to do it, the one yesterday, you ought to add some of this.
Yeah.
All right, take it, big guy.